Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we unpack the most important shifts in tech and engineering so you can get right up to speed. Today, we're seeing something really interesting. It feels like there's this huge philosophical battle going on in tech.
It's a real divergence, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got some companies that are all about control. They're locking down access, jacking up prices for status, and basically defining value through exclusivity.
And then you have the others.
Exactly. The others are just, relentlessly pushing the raw limits of physics. For them, it's all about innovation and performance.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have a pretty dense stack of sources today. We're covering everything from, obscure geo-blocking software to multi-ton rocket boosters.
Right. And our mission here is to figure out where the real value is being created. Is it raw performance that's winning? Or is it this idea of perceived status?
That is the critical question.
So we're looking at four different battlegrounds today. First, how these software giants are building, let's call them next-gen digital walls.
Second, how consumer hardware is making some pretty big compromises functionally just for the sake of looks.
I think I know where that's going.
Then the CPU wars, which are now being fought almost entirely on price. And finally, where pure engineering is still just blowing the doors off, especially in aerospace.
Let's start with that first one. A technical marvel that, ironically, most of you listening outside the U.S. can't even get to yet. I'm talking about Google's anti-gravity video platform.
The demos are incredible. I mean, the physics-based synthesis is just, it's mind-blowing.
But if you're in the UAE or the UK or anywhere in the EU, you hit a wall immediately, and it is so frustrating.
And at first, everyone thought it was just regulatory stuff, GDPR, the AI Act, the usual suspects.
Right.
But the fascinating part isn't the why, it's the how. Google rolled out an enforcement system that makes your standard VPN completely and utterly useless.
A VPN used to be the skeleton key for everything online. So what did Google build that's so good at keeping people out?
Well, our sources are calling it the tri-layer geolocation protocol. And honestly, it's a masterclass in digital fingerprinting. It checks you three ways. And if anything doesn't line up, you're blocked instantly.
Okay. Walk us through these layers.
So layer one is the most basic. It's IP reputation. Google has these massive lists of IP addresses that belong to data centers.
The ones that cheap VPNs use.
Exactly. So if you're using a budget VPN that routes through a known cloud provider, boom, you're flagged before the page even loads.
All right, that makes sense. What's layer two?
Layer two gets a bit more insidious. It uses the browser API. Specifically, the navigator.geolocation check.
Even if you click don't allow.
Even then. The underlying API can sometimes passively leak a rough location. Yeah. If your Wi-Fi is on, it's leaking data points that can be triangulated to pin you to a specific city or region.
So they check the IP, then they cross-reference it with where your Wi-Fi signals say you probably are. That still feels like something a smart user could get around, though. What's the final trap?
Layer three. And this is where they're really playing three-dimensional chess. It's time zone heuristics.
Time zone.
Heuristics. Basically, a sophisticated check. Let's say you've got a great VPN. It gives you a clean residential New York IP address.
Okay.
But your laptop system clock is still set to, say, Gulf Standard Time or Central European Time. That mismatch, the IP versus the system clock, that's the trigger. It's non-negotiable. You're out.
That is, wow, that's next level. So my VPN says Miami, but my computer clock is telling Google I should be asleep in Riyadh.
Precisely. And for now, Google is winning this little arms race.
So if the system is this good, is there a way around it? The analysis must have mentioned a workaround.
Oh, absolutely. There's a verified method for determined users
and,
mean us or the EU.
Yeah.
You just have to make your digital persona perfectly consistent.
This is the key takeaway for you listening. How do you do it?
Okay, first, and this is critical, you have to go into your OS settings, not the browser, the operating system. Turn off automatic time zone and manually set your clock to UTC 05.00 Eastern Time. It has to match your US IP.
Match the time zone. Got it.
Second, go deep into your browser's privacy settings and find the master switch. Select Don't Allow Sites to See Your Location, a hard block.
Don't just rely on the pop-up.
Never. And third, always use a fresh incognito or private window. That clears out any residual location cookies.
And the final piece, that layer one IP check.
For that, you do need a better VPN. One that specifically offers residential or obfuscated IPs. They look like they're coming from a real home, not a data center. It just shows how effective control can be when a company really commits to it.
Fascinating. So Google is spending all this effort to restrict access. Let's pivot now to a company doing the exact opposite, using software to enable access, especially for small businesses. Let's talk about Telegram.
This is a completely different strategy, right? Pavel Durov is all about monetization through utility. And the centerpiece of the new Telegram Business Plus is this thing they call the AI receptionist.
So while Google builds walls, Telegram is handing out automated keys to storefronts.
That's a great way to put it.
So how does this AI receptionist actually work? What's the tech behind it?
The core tech is called RAG, Retrieval Augmented Generation. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about RAG is that it doesn't hallucinate. It doesn't guess.
Okay, how so?
A business, let's say a small shop in Dubai, just uploads its own documents, a PDF menu, an Excel sheet with prices, a long shipping policy, whatever. That becomes the ground truth.
So the AI is only allowed to pull answers from those specific documents.
Exactly. A customer asks, do you ship to Germany? The RG system finds the answer in the uploaded spreadsheet, and then it generates a natural language response, something like, yes, we ship to Germany via DHL for 15 euros. It's incredibly accurate because it's only using the data it was given.
And the reports we saw said this is having a huge impact, automating something like 90% of customer chats for these small businesses.
It's massive. It effectively turns a simple chat channel into a 247 automated e-commerce business. It's pure democratized efficiency through software innovation.
Which brings us to our next battleground, where the fight isn't in software, but in raw silicon and pricing strategy. We're moving to the CPU market.
Yeah, and we just saw a classic move from Intel that perfectly highlights this choice between control and raw performance. The catalyst was, well, it was brutal. It was the leaked benchmarks for AMD's new chip, the Ryzen 9 9950X3D.
And those leaks were bad for Intel.
Devastating, at least for gaming. The report showed that AMD's 3D V-Cache tech gave them a monumental 50% lead in key gaming cache performance.
50%. At the high end, that means AMD just owns the bragging rights for gamers. So if you're Intel and you know you're going to lose the raw frames per second war, how do you respond?
You don't fight that battle. You fight a different one. You choose to win on price, which is its own form of market control. Intel officially slashed the price of their flagship, the Core Ultra 9 285K.
By how much?
A full 15%. They dropped it down to around $510.
And that's not a sign of weakness. That's a very clear strategic statement.
It's absolutely a strategy. It's Intel admitting that their Arrow Lake architecture has issues with what's called memory latency in gaming. They're basically ceding the high-end gaming crown to AMD.
But in exchange...
they are aiming to win the price-to-performance battle for everyone else. For creators, for developers... People who need strong multi-threaded performance for work.
So if you can't win the speed race, you pivot and win the value race. That perfectly illustrates this divergence. And for you, the consumer, this is great news. I mean, a flagship chip for $500 that's great at productivity is a fantastic deal.
It is. Which brings us to the very specific buying advice from the reports. For the gamers, the advice is clear. Hold off. Wait for AMD's X3D launch because that 3D V-Cache is still king.
But for creators, you know, video editors, programmers, anyone doing heavy rendering or compiling.
For them, the Core Ultra 9 at $510 is a fantastic buy right now. It's an incredible value for multi-threaded work. It's a clear choice.
Let's take that battle and apply it to a product where value seems almost disconnected from function, where it's all about aesthetic status. We have to talk about the rumored iPhone 17 Air.
Right. This is where we see form versus function play out, and physics is kind of getting ignored. The leaks from Prosser, Gurman, they're all pointing in the same direction. Mm-hmm. 17 Air replaces the Plus model, and its only real goal is to be the thinnest Apple device ever.
At a rumored, what was it, 5.5 millimeters?
5.5 millimeters, which is just absurdly thin. And hitting that target forces some major, major compromises.
Compromises that go directly against utility, I'm guessing.
Completely. First up is the main board. To get that thin, they're reportedly using something called resin-coated copper, or RCC, main boards.
Okay, what is that, and why should we care?
It lets them pack components tighter, which saves space. But the problem is that resin is a thermal insulator. It traps heat.
Ah, so if you're, say, shooting 4K video or playing a heavy game...
The heat has nowhere to go. The chip will have to throttle itself, meaning you're losing performance, all for the sake of thinness.
And the battery is always the first casualty in the war on thickness.
It has to be. You can't cheat physics. Volume equals capacity. And the report suggests a 20 to 25% reduction in battery capacity compared to the 16 Plus. That's a huge step backwards for a phone's primary function.
Then there's the camera. A phone that thin can't fit the best camera hardware, can it?
No. That Z height, the depth, is too shallow for a modern periscope zoom lens. So the 17 Air reportedly reverts to a single, high-quality 48-megapixel wide lens. It gives up the versatility of telephoto and ultra-wide that pro users expect.
So let me get this straight. It runs hotter, has a 25% smaller battery, and a less versatile camera. And the rumored price for this compromised device is
$1,200. $1,199, yeah.
Explain the logic. How do you sell a functionally worse product for more money?
This is a textbook example of the Veblen strategy. A Veblen good is a luxury item where demand actually increases as the price goes up.
Because the high price itself is the feature.
Exactly. The high price and, crucially, the engineered inefficiency, the fact that it sacrifices battery for aesthetics, makes it a more potent status symbol. Apple is targeting a very specific slice of the market, the so-called Dubai London elite, mentioned in the source, who value this statement of extreme thinness more than all-day function.
So they're almost intentionally making it worse because that impracticality makes it more exclusive.
It's form-winning over function, backed by a very deliberate pricing strategy.
Okay, that's a fascinating, if cynical, strategy. Now let's shift gears completely, away from aesthetics, and to two examples of pure, uncompromised engineering function. First, video games.
Right. Ubisoft announced a delay for the Splinter Cell remake. It's been pushed all the way to fiscal year 2027. And this isn't about scheduling. This is a technical bottleneck.
What are they trying to do that's so hard?
They're building it on the Snowdrop engine, and the goal is fully dynamic, ray-traced global illumination, RTGI.
Which is basically super realistic, real-time light and shadows.
And for a game like Splinter Cell, where hiding in the shadows is the entire point, getting that light perfect is everything. But the problem is performance. They just can't get it to hit a stable 60 frames per second on the current base consoles.
The PS5 and Series X just can't handle it.
Not at the level of fidelity they're aiming for. So the theory is they're retooling the release to target the rumored mid-gen refresh consoles. Mm. The PS5 Pro, the next Xbox, whatever has more horsepower. It's engineering pushing up against the limits of current hardware.
And speaking of pushing limits, nothing does that better than SpaceX. The successful tower catch of the super heavy booster, Mechazilla.
That was so much more than just a spectacle. I mean, it fundamentally alters the economics of space launch.
It seems incredibly risky, though. Why catch a giant rocket with arms instead of just landing it on legs?
Because of mass. It's all about the dry mass. By catching the booster, they can completely remove the heavy landing legs and all their hydraulics.
And how much weight does that actually save?
Sources say it's about 10 to 12 tons of dry mass. In rocketry, every single kilogram you save on the booster means you can put exponentially more payload into orbit. Saving 12 tons it's astronomical.
And the ultimate goal there is to get their launch costs down to that magic number, right? $10 per kilogram.
And hitting that number is what makes their whole future business plan work. It lets them launch the massive new Starlink Gen 3 satellites faster and cheaper.
The ones they need for their upcoming direct-to-cell service.
Exactly. The service that will beam 5G directly from space to any standard smartphone, anywhere in the world. It's pure engineering innovation to solve a global problem.
So if we connect this all to the bigger picture, you can really see the split we talked about at the top.
You really can. On one side, you have Google and Intel fighting for dominance with software locks and strategic price cuts. That's the strategy of control.
And on the other side, you have the pure engineering plays. AMD pushing for raw performance, Ubisoft waiting for better hardware, and SpaceX rewriting the laws of economics by catching rockets. That's the strategy of innovation.
And it shows how value is shifting. Sometimes it's about raw efficiency, and sometimes, thanks to that Veblen strategy, it's about aesthetic exclusivity.
So we'll leave you with the question that really comes out of all this, a question that defines this conflict in tech right now. Would you buy the iPhone 17 Air just for its looks, knowing it has a much worse battery and a less capable camera? Or when it comes to the tech you use every day, is function always more important than form? Think about that as you weigh innovation against control. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.